Welcome to Journal Club for January 22nd, 2025. I'm Malcolm Diggs. What if I told you that I had a very, very special thumb drive? It's smaller and lighter than a coin, but it holds 250 petabytes of data. What would you say? You'd probably think I was lying or crazy. Or maybe you'd think I'd somehow gotten access to a brand new top-secret government project. But the truth is, this technology isn't new at all. It's been around for years. Billions of years. It's DNA. DNA is unbelievably compact and efficient at storing and encoding information. As a medium, it can be stored without electricity, in dry pellet form, or dissolved in a solution for thousands and thousands of years. We've understood how DNA stores information since Watson and Crick discovered the double helix in the 50s, but until recently, we've only been able to marvel at the storage mechanism from afar. We haven't been able to use DNA to store information ourselves. The storage mechanisms we've come up with instead are, well, way worse. Hard drives, flash drives, magnetic tape, CDs, floppy disks, etc. They don't come anywhere close to DNA's efficiency or durability. In order to use DNA as a storage medium, we'd need to be able to read and write DNA, that is, sequence and synthesize it. Both of these processes have historically been cost prohibitive, but that's changing. The sequencing that the Human Genome Project did in the early 2000s that cost nearly $3 billion, you can do today for a couple hundred bucks. And over those same decades, the process of oligonucleotide synthesis has dropped from a few dollars per base to a few cents. So it's finally starting to become economically feasible for researchers to test these ideas out and see how well they work. And that's what this paper is all about. It's a comprehensive literature review that is designed to bring us all up to speed on the latest and greatest advances in this field. Broadly speaking, this field is called DNA cryptography. But you can think of it as being two very loosely related topics that share a name but actually don't have very much to do with each other at all. Natural DNA cryptography and pseudo-DNA cryptography. Natural DNA cryptography is what I was just talking about, figuring out how to write digital information to DNA, optionally encoding or encrypting it if needs be, synthesizing the DNA molecules, storing them, and reading them back later. Pseudo-DNA cryptography uses concepts borrowed from DNA, but applied to the digital realm. It's a purely digital process that mimics how DNA works, but operates entirely with regular computers and data. It enhances traditional encryption methods by adding complexity that is inspired by DNA processes. Now, when you hear the word cryptography, you might automatically think security. But in some cases, including some we're about to explore, cryptographic techniques are just used as mechanisms to encode and organize the data. They transform and structure information in order to get it into a format that would work well for biological storage. While this is a form of encoding and decoding, it would be a mistake to think that all DNA cryptography is about security. That's a big part of it, but it's not the whole picture. Before we go on, I think we could use a quick refresher on how DNA stores information in general. DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, is composed of four chemical bases, A, T, C, and G. Adenine, thymine, cytosine, and guanine. These four pair up in specific ways. This is called base complementarity. A pairs with T, and C pairs with G, to form the rungs of a double helix. The sequence of these bases functions like a code similar to binary. That is all an oversimplification, it's actually way more complicated than that, but that's as far as we need to go today. With all that out of the way, let's look at pseudo-DNA cryptography first, and then we'll come back to natural DNA cryptography. Pseudo-DNA cryptography applies the biological principles of DNA to enhance traditional cryptographic methods. Instead of physically encoding DNA into strands, it introduces new layers of complexity and security to conventional encryption techniques. The core idea is to create more robust encryption schemes that resist brute force attacks and offer greater flexibility. In this process, your binary data, your zeros and ones, is mapped to nucleotide bases, ATCG. This transformation allows for the application of biological operations such as base complementarity, which I just mentioned earlier, and sequence splicing. where digital strands are segmented and reassembled in a way that enhances encryption complexity. These processes are combined with conventional cryptographic techniques such as substitution, permutation, and diffusion. All of this strengthens security by making the encrypted data more resistant to statistical analysis and pattern recognition. This paper goes over several new advancements. One involves using chaotic systems, which introduce unpredictability and randomness into the encryption process. Chaos-based encryption techniques are combined with DNA operations to shuffle and scramble data sequences effectively. Another approach is the integration of genetic algorithms. In these systems, the encryption keys are evolved through selection, mutation, and crossover operations. This ensures adaptive security that adjusts to potential threats. When applied to image encryption, image pixels are first converted into DNA sequences and then subjected to operations at the nucleotide level to not only obscure the image content, but also introduce dependencies between pixels. This reduces the likelihood of successful decryption without the correct key. The paper also explores multi-layer encryption, which is exactly what it sounds like, and pseudo-random DNA key generation. In that process, natural DNA sequences are obtained from biological databases and are used as secret keys during the encryption process. So that's pseudo-DNA cryptography. How is natural DNA cryptography different? Well, as I said earlier, it shares part of the name, but it's an entirely different beast. First, as we saw before, data's binary values are mapped to nucleotide sequences. These sequences can be further enhanced with error-correcting codes to account for potential errors that may be introduced during synthesis and sequencing. To enhance the security, there have been recent advancements around the use of polymerase chain reaction, PCR, as a form of authentication. PCR, which you probably remember from your COVID tests, is a technique that amplifies specific sequences. In this context, PCR can serve as a security mechanism without requiring knowledge of specific DNA primer sequences. Without the correct primers, the encrypted data remains inaccessible. The authors also explore DNA chips, or microarrays. These chips consist of thousands of short DNA probes immobilized on a solid surface. The probes can bind with complementary DNA strands. The security advantage lies in the complexity of selecting the correct probes for data retrieval. You embed encrypted data within the chip using unique probe combinations that can only be decoded by someone with the correct complementary sequences. Another new area is called DNA origami. It's a nanotechnology that involves folding DNA strands into predefined 2D and 3D structures. By designing specific folding patterns, researchers can hide information within the origami that can only be revealed by applying the correct key sequences. And lastly, the authors explore a concept called noisy storage channels. DNA data storage is prone to insertion, deletion, and substitution errors. These are called IDS errors. These kinds of errors make it difficult to precisely retrieve stored data without additional information. Researchers are exploring how to use these error-prone channels as a form of security by embedding hidden patterns within the noisy sequences. Without knowledge of the original encoding algorithm and the error correction techniques, an attacker would struggle to differentiate meaningful data from random noise. So, how much of what we just talked about is actually viable today, how much is theoretical, and how much is under development? Well, the line is drawn pretty neatly between pseudo-DNA and natural DNA cryptography. Pseudo-DNA cryptography is relatively viable today. It's seeing some limited applications in areas like image encryption and data obfuscation. Natural DNA cryptography, on the other hand, is much more experimental and is currently still not cost-efficient for widespread use. As I mentioned earlier, costs have come down by several orders of magnitude in recent years, but they've still got some ways to go before this could be a commercially successful product. As the landscape changes and the new technologies become more widely spread, we'll be sure to report about it here. Until then, download the paper if you'd like to get more details on any of the tech that we just covered today. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.